The fact that people don't have to leave the platform is so big. And even on your desktop, I made it full screen and I was pretty stoked on how it looked. Like, it filled the screen and it looked pretty good. And it's a low-res movie, right? It was just...
Yeah, it's forgiving on that. So yeah, it's like the music on this show. It's forgiving if we send it out over 128 kbps.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, the whole thing is meant to be in the dimensions of a Game Boy screen, right?
So I love it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I heard that there was a rumor that there was a potential, like, venture into that realm. Can you discuss that, or is that under wraps right now?
It's, it is in the works, and we're kind of, we gotta see, how do I...
You gotta explore, it's in the exploratory phase, is how you say.
We're waiting on the go-ahead from a certain... venture, I guess.
I like it. That's okay. Yeah, you don't need to say anymore.
But we're definitely testing out the Game Boy. We have the potential of flashing physical Game Boy carts and have been doing tests of the Roach video game.
It's getting hot in here. I need a fan.
Yeah, it's super exciting. And so, you know, once we do, I will say it come March or so, we'll know if it's a go-ahead. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, I don't want to leave that as an option. Might remix it a little bit. As I've learned with this movie, you just got to be flexible.
Totally.
You know, and just figure things out as you go. But as long as... as long as you still want to do it after all the bumps along the road,
it's absolutely worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
If you take a look around at some of our other kind of Vancouver friends, there's a record label for those of you who don't know at home. I'm probably sure Radioland is so happy for me to mention them again. Katie on Fire Records, one of my best friends. Yeah. So they do a ton of physical releases. And so just hearing that people are actually putting out things these days on VHS, floppy, MP3, mini disc. We've got people, one dude put out a Dreamcast CD, like an actual flat. Yeah. So just the tech involved, because you need a dev version of a Dreamcast, then you need something that can actually write the CD software. So.
That's a people, passion thing, right? But it's absolutely. So much fun to do, right?
And that's the thing. There are all these physical formats that... have their advantages in our low res kind of arena where we are sharing all this art form. Cause there's an aesthetic and a quality to chiptune and to low res visuals and to 3D films. And it's kind of this celebration of technology meeting creativity somewhere down the road.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't think, you know, even after all that, it was decidedly lo-fi in that would always be, and same with my music too, like as things change and as the ability to make stuff gets maybe not easier but more accessible, I just wanted to stick to something that always sounded just a little dirtier, just a little weathered
in that
sense, and not perfect, and kind of just almost highlighting its kind of low fidelity.
Absolutely.
Using it as part of it, and I don't think I could make anything outside of that kind of look and feel ever, really. Even my next stuff, I just can't imagine doing that.
And we're glad that you don't, because it fits the show so well, and it just makes it so much easier for me to tell people to just go watch the damn thing, because it's good. The two things that were popping into my head as we were talking about this, the one is your use of the physical mechanisms of hardware, like the clicking and the buttons and the tape, you know, the actual mechanics and motor sounds of instruments in your recorded music on Bandcamp, for example. And then the other point was the fact that some of your music was featured in the film as well, and there's a great scene where there's a cassette and it zooms in and then it gets stuck on the tape loop as well.
Yeah, so the it's so funny because when I was talking to Sydney, who voices the pilot, the first time we talked about the movie and I asked her over coffee if she wanted to play the pilot, this was like maybe even like 6 or 7 years ago at this point. It was a long time ago. Because the actual lines themselves were recorded around the time I got the 3D glasses. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it was really early on. So she was saying that, because I had some concerns, like, over the movie maybe being so different from my aesthetic or the style that I was doing with my music at the time. And she was really quick to say, like, oh, I have a hard time believing that, you know, that kind of style would be absent from your film. You know, that's going to happen. And, totally. And at the time, it's funny because I was really naive about what my style even was, you know, but it's the kind of like tactile nature of things. Like, I want all my edits to be kind of identifiable, introduction, and kind of taking away of certain elements, be it music or movies. Like, I want to call out all that stuff. So
yeah, subtractive editing, raw cuts. I noticed there were a lot of quick cuts. There was also a lot of what we called terraced dynamics, as in terraced.
Where it
goes from a very, very loud section to immediately after a cut to a quiet section, or to something that's in between, or something that is removed. Like, one thing for sure, when the I would say in the beginning, kind of 5-10 minutes of the movie, when the tape part comes on for the first time, you're like, wait, what's going on? It totally caught me off guard.
Yeah, no, it was fun to, and the contrast between making such a noisy, you know, not it's not very danceable movie, is it? It's kind of different from music.
Well, but there were points where I was grooving in my seat because I'm like, I recognize this.
I was just able to put that track in there. It's a nice contrast. And again, it was just, it's like the music and the movie have a lot in common at the end of the day. So that was something I didn't really realize until the end. And then I remembered that conversation and being like, oh man, there we go.
You also mentioned that to get that sound to match the visuals of the tape, you actually ran that track through a tape recorder to get that kind of hiss and lo-fi and tape hum and that kind of stuff, as well as the EQ, because it sounds very, very high-passed.
Yeah, so and actually that's the mix that we have here today, that I have a few tracks that I recorded from those sessions that I mixed.
We'll be playing
together.
That right after the interview here.
Yeah. So it's all of that is recorded on a Panasonic. I just want to confirm what model it is, but it's kind of crazy how much it's gone up in price when I looked it up last time. I want to say it's like an RF2612, but I could be totally wrong about
So that. A multi-channel recorder that records on two channel stereo
tape? It is the most Fisher pricey kind of cassette recorder, like a shoebox recorder.
Okay.
The setup that I had for it was just a sea of adapters and Y adapters and different cables connecting to and from, and it's a very noisy recording that I got out of it, and then took it into Audacity after and
I love that program.
Yeah, oh, it's the best.
One of my favorite programs of all time.
Yeah, it's. I remember making music on there in grade 3 or 4.
Nice. I still make music on there for fun.
Yeah. It's
just because it's good. The editing is like very, very straightforward. That's one of my favorite things about it. If I just need to chop audio, add fades, it's very easy.
Absolutely. So I was just putting stuff onto there after recording it. I was using all my kind of normal instruments, all the stuff that I was using with Ableton as the brain and Monica and all that, but recording it to tape this time and then bouncing it back and, you know, attempting to clean it up. But
I love it.
I love the sound so much.
It's so good. You can't replicate it because it comes into the physical world, and there's just something different that happens when you put sound on a physical medium and then pull it back into the digital realm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's because really a lot of my favorite music over the last few years has been stuff that just sounds like crap. You know, it's it's stuff that's just record. Like,
have you?
There's a lot of lo-fi house on SoundCloud and stuff like that,
yeah.
or lo-fi techno that's just really kind of under the radar stuff. Where I'll just go for hours searching on SoundCloud, which is still very much alive.
Oh, absolutely.
Despite it not being the best website anymore, it's still doing its thing.
I find hundreds of artists on there because it's people great. Will be because you can still post free mm-hmm. on there, and you know, it's still a platform for music discovery as opposed to music like music recommendation and discovery as Absolutely. Opposed to building, you know, listening to some massive hit. The
it's so much fun.
Your music is available on Bandcamp. Is it available on SoundCloud?
Oh, yeah.
I think there are some old... Because I remember... Yeah, there's a Music Waste set. Yes, I pulled the Music Waste set, and then there was another one that I really liked that we played last week called Super Runner. Is that the right name?
Oh, Endless Runner.
Endless Runner, excuse me. Love that one. So good.
Yeah, that was a fun one because I usually wouldn't post any... And I think it's funny because that's the kind of stuff I want to do more of. I have way more of that kind of improv generative kind of stuff based.
Have you ever checked out AlgoRave or algorithmic coding where they use like live coding to build rave and electronic music?
No.
All right. Well, we'll have to talk about that.
Definitely.
Yeah, but I think you'd be interested in that.
Definitely.
I love those kind of longer evolving tracks and when you hear it, you know, when you first listen to the first couple of minutes, you're intently listening. And then after those 5, 6, 7 minutes, you start to hear the manipulation of the instrument and the way you're opening that filter. Those percussive effects just by using the filter sweeps kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's my first like modular track, which is something nice. We'll see where that goes. I definitely want to do more of that kind of stuff. I was always envisioning that, like, if I was recording more of these like dirty direct to tape kind of things like that, that I would release it not as Pop 3 but just as Poop.
Nice.
we'll
Poop 2, Poop 3. I like it.
Just Poop.
Yeah.
I didn't know if people were gonna like the real dirty tape stuff. So
I have a little modular box at home. I have a Kilpatrick Phenol, which has a whole bunch of modules built into one kind of synth thing. So maybe we should throw some ideas down, because modular synth and visual coding and that kind of stuff, that's my wheelhouse. I love that stuff.
Hell yeah.
I'm just trying to think. Oh, there was one thing I did want to talk about, the venue that we went to go premiere this out. How did you get a hold of them? Did you try to have it at other venues? How did you eventually end up with Nextdoor?
I had them in mind the
whole Nice.
Time. I like them a lot. And I love the I just
And who is know. Them, by the way, just for Radioland?
Oh, Slice of Life, and we had this at Slice Nextdoor. It's at Clark and Venables, Vancouver. Just the best. I mean, like, where else are you going to have a venue that has pinball machines, you know?
Yep.
So
pinball, 3D, good bar, and a thrift shop and sticker and art and print gallery next door.
Yeah, no, it's just, I mean, when they said yes, I was like... through the moon. I was so excited. So yeah, no, you know, hopefully not the last time too, because you know, as much as I want to keep getting as many eyeballs on Instagram to watch the movie and then figure out distribution from there, I definitely want to do more live stuff.
Yeah,
I love showing it in public, and so we'll see. Yeah,
definitely.
We'll see where that goes.
I want to sit more in the center, because I was off to the side, and I know that 3D works best if you're kind of central on that screen.
For sure.
So next time, I'm going to get my seat early.
For sure. No, I do want to upload the 3D version, and just in the description, if people want to order some 3D glasses from me, they can, but not until we get to
That's right. That's Holy. Right. By the way, folks, y'all need to go to Schnoodlebug's YouTube channel and follow him right away.
Instagram
as well, but also you want to be able to get that YouTube username.
Oh, that's right. Subs. That's right.
I got you, fam.
Thank you, man. No, yeah, it's... I totally, yeah. No, absolutely.
So, of course, we want everything. No, really, we need to direct everyone.
We want everything.
However, right now, the most important one to go to, because for those of you who weren't able to attend the world premiere, go on Instagram right now, instagram.com/schnoodlebug. The film is available in the red version, and the 3D one is red and blue together, so you will, once it's available, you will need those special anaglyphic glasses.
Yeah. And I want to make it as easy as possible and send them in the mail, have people be able to watch it, and if we can figure out other distribution for it. Down the line, we have a few really fun versions planned. Don't want to speak too soon.
Yeah, keep it under wraps. However, yeah, as soon as we're able to talk about it, let me know and we'll get you on air again.
Absolutely. Color variants, we'll have some really fun artists included with each of those. So we want to space those out as well. But yeah, no, really fun stuff planned to kind of keep this going and have it be as kind of versatile as possible. And they get to the point where it's like, I feel like watching the pink version, you know?
Yes. Yeah, you go in and there's a menu and it's like select your palette. Oh, yeah. Instead of palette swaps on a fighter, you get palette swaps on Roach 3D.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just kind of, it's a pop art mentality to the whole thing. Nice. Screen printing kind of vibes, where if you wanted a different color, a different vibe, I got you.
Roach Warhol. Rainbow. Nice. You should do that one in August next year.
Ooh, yeah.
I guess one last question for you. Are there things that you would have done differently with the film now that you've had it premiered and fully out there for the world?
And of course. I think, like... So I was watching it again this morning, just to make sure it's working on Instagram still.
Good man.
Because it was such a fluke, that I uploaded it. So I was watching it again, and it was viewable the whole time. Again, I was like, oh, man, awesome. But, of course, like everything, I'm learning. Because I think a couple of years ago, if I had made and finished it then, I would have been much more... I would have had many more regrets, looking at the film and just being like, oh, I could have done it this way, I could have done that. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, I really just wanted to, because I don't want to be too precious about the stuff I make anymore. As kind of, I don't want it to be like garbage or throw it away, but I want to be confident in what I make to the point
where let the work speak for itself.
Yeah, and just kind of, if there are kind of, I would have done it differently. Oh, well, I didn't. It's out there. Yeah. Next time I've learned from that, and I'll just do whatever. And I just want to be as kind of, I got to that point with music, and I want to do that with movies as well.
That's a very healthy attitude.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Indeed. For our folks at home, let's just rattle off a couple of digital locations where they can find your stuff. Maybe with the film, your social media, and then anything else.
Yeah, so honestly, the best thing, Instagram right now. So SCHNUDLBUG, Schnoodlebug. That's where you can watch the movie. Again, the more followers we get, the more we can justify posting the color variants, which again come with different artists. There's going to be a lot of really fun stuff happening, and again, that limited edition VHS, it's going to be pretty limited. It's going to be 100 copies, but that's going to be the big thing for next year. I'm super stoked on that, and 2023 is going to be the year of Roach. That's
amazing.
Great.
And of course, stay tuned on the CGSF website for a film review of the Roach premiere that is currently underway.
Woo!
Yeah, and of course, Letterboxd. If you haven't, go review the film on Letterboxd. It really makes a difference.
Absolutely. It's a fun website, man. I love it. I've learned about so many movies. So if you're into it, if you like, it doesn't, I don't think the website really opens up until you start following more people.
Yeah.
And going down their rabbit hole. So really, you just got to kind of use the website in that sense. But
totally.
Regardless, if you're willing to make an account, just post a review. It's super helpful. Even if you didn't like it, I kind of want to hear why you didn't like it.
Art is subjective. We want to know what the subject is.
No, I'm stoked. I'm actually stoked to hear if somebody really doesn't like it. I want to know.
Nice. Well, I enjoyed it personally speaking. I thought it was awesome, and I was over the moon that I was invited to check that out. So again, please check out Schnoodlebug across all forms of media. Go to the screenings when they are happening in the future. Stay tuned for the VHS release, and of course, support local cinema, local art, and local creative endeavors. Thank you again so much, Schnoodlebug. We really appreciate everything that you've done for the show, and we're so excited to see this blossom into such a huge success.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I've always appreciated just how much you've dug the music and everything, and kind of championed it. I've always been so humbled and appreciate it so much. This is cool.
Yep.
This is really cool. I'm really excited. I've got the bug now after doing that event. I just want to show it to more people.
He's got the Schnoodle bug. Well, don't worry. You're a hometown hero to us. And again, thank you so much to everybody who came to the screening, everybody who's listening to the show. You can catch Bitcoover again Tuesday, 8 to 10 p.m. on CGSF 90.1 FM. This is Bitcoover FM and Schnoodle bug saying adios for now. Thank you. Good evening, netizens. Welcome to a special presentation from Bitcoover FM. This is our three-part interview with Schnoodlebug at the premiere of his first feature-length film, Roach, in 3D. Dark and stormy Vancouver night, early December, we find ourselves at the premiere of Roach in 3D on Venables Street, live from Next Door, which is next door to the Slice of Life gift and thrift shop. And of course, coming at you live, this is Bitcoover FM, CJSF 90.1 FM. We will be bringing you part 2 and 3 of this interview. This is, of course, the first feature-length film by Schnoodlebug. This is Roach, and it will be premiered in 3D this evening in about 30 minutes, so I should probably find myself indoors. However, you know, we're outside, taking in the atmosphere. Of course, we are just right off of Commercial Drive, so if you fancy yourself any independent gifts during this holiday season, I would highly recommend you to check out your local independent underground retailers on the Commercial Drive, and of course support your local artisans and support your local underground music scene as well. Support the artists by buying directly from them. We'll be back in a little bit after the premiere of Roach. in 3D. I'm going to give you a little bit of Vancouver ambience on the way out. Again, this is Vancouver FM, live and direct from Venables Street in downtown Vancouver. Once again, live and direct from next door on Venables Street in Vancouver, BC. I have just been given exclusive Roach-branded 3D glasses beautiful, beautiful stuff. And of course, we're being treated to live music courtesy of Schnoodlebug.